720 WGN live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on the road with Dane. We are here. It is a beautiful day. It is one of those great days out there. It is a day that you feel like you're stealing from fall or winter. You go outside and you're like, whoa, it's actually a very nice day. I should have spent a lot more time outside. But getting ready for the program today, and we've got a jam-packed one. It's going to be, I don't want to use the word eclectic, or that's two words, right? Eclectic blend. We are going to have kind of a mix of, it is a holiday weekend. It is Thanksgiving weekend. We're going to talk a little bit of food as we do on either the tailgate side, a little bit of wine stuff. I don't know if you could tailgate with wine. You can, right, Camille? You could do that.
You can tailgate with wine.
Okay, there we yeah. got the, we've got the clearance for that. We're going to do that. Plus some transformative travel as wine superstar Mark Oldman is going to join us to talk about his travels to Italy, some of the things that he got to see there, some amazing stuff from the perspective sort of food, but also that whole travel side. Get out there, get on the road. And travel. And then, of course, he's going to talk a little bit of wine and some suggestions as we get into the holiday time. DJ Manny is going to join us. Now, DJ Manny is he's a NASCAR fan, but he's also, one of the top personalities on social media, producing and all those. He's worked with recently Donny Osmond. Camille, are you a fan of Donny Osmond? Maybe your parents were a fan of Dazzy. Yeah.
I don't know.
Does your mom have a Donny Osmond poster up in her room? She probably
no,
still
she took that down.
She took it down.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he is still very active, still working, and made probably. Maybe one of his best or future hits with DJ Manny. He's going to be joining us right after our first break. Also, Mike Joy from Fox. He's the lead analyst for Fox and NASCAR on Fox. And as they get ready to kick off the Daytona 500 for the 2018 season, he is going to be there front and center for you on your television with all the biggest stars of racing. The season has just ended, so I'm sure Mike is going to give us a little bit of a recap on what he saw, what he thought, how it kind of leads into the winter, some of the changes that have happened, then also a great car show that he's doing with Ray Evernham and some of the great causes that it's going to support as well. Plus, he is the voice of so many of those Barrett Jackson, those car events. And big congratulations to Rob. I can't remember where he was. I think he was from Rob from Elk Grove, ended up being our bona fide ride of the show winner last week. So he won the bona fide ride of the show. He won the $25 gift card to Bone of Beef, as well as two tickets to last week's Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals. 312-981-7200. If you got a chance to go to that, if you had something you saw you want to share here on the show, we're happy to go ahead and help talk a little bit about that as well. Plus, that's the number, 312-981-7200 for this week's bona fide ride of the show. You can call Camille. We'll take your call and just share your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car. There's no preference to it. We're going to take everybody that participates, throw them all in a hat, and pick our winner before the end of the show for that gift card and maybe another prize or two, depending on who we talk to. Also on the road trip, if you want to get a place that is a world away and only just a short car right away, Kalahari Resorts and Convention Centers up there in Wisconsin Dells. I know what you're thinking, the Dells, it is the water park capital. Yes, and the capital of the water park capital is Kalahari. We'll talk with Natasha about all the things that they're doing, some of the cool things that are going on, plus the things for the holidays. This is some of the things as far as experiences as opposed to material possessions. Camille, do you have a thought on that? I mean, of course, when it comes to Christmas, you're going to want to open stuff. You want both. I think it's not, you know, either or. It's more and, right? Go ahead. Yes, give me things, yeah. But then also give me experiences.
I love the experiences, though. I mean, this is my first Christmas time in Chicago in 4 years actually being home. I've been at school the last 4 years. So actually being able to be here and go to the Kris Kringle Mart and go, you know, see a Christmas play or do all that kind of stuff. I love doing that stuff, especially here in the city.
Well, it's one of the things on the gift side that is changing. And we'll get into a little bit some of those gifts that are out there for automotive fans, racing fans, enthusiasts. Camille has printed out some of those, so we'll share them. That the first time where more gifts are going to be bought online than at stores and shopping malls this year. So that it has finally changed. At first, it was just a little bit on the online side. Everybody still went out and fought crowds, got trampled at the Walmart on Black Friday, did the whole thing, at Woodfield Mall. And now it is changing to the point where even more things are bought online than they are at the stores. So we'll talk about that from the motorsports enthusiast perspective. And then also, too, from the on the road, get out there, take a road trip and have an experience, vacation, if you will, instead of just some gifts under the tree. Maybe both. I think both. My kids, I don't think they would settle for Right. Hey, we got nothing. But guess what?
Hey, kids.
We're going somewhere in 2 months. You know, I don't know. So I think you got to cover all those bases. We will do that here on the show as well. So again, 312-981-7200. Send it in. You can text it in. You can text in a picture. It always helps. Your first car, your favorite car, your dream car to be the bona fide ride of the show today. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have DJ Manny on with us. It's On the Road with Dane live here on 720 WGN.
DJ Manny.
I know you feel it.
720 WGN On the Road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. In studio with us, and of course on the road on this show, we talk transformative travel, getting out, seeing the world, and how that can affect what it is you do, how you feel, and some of these adventures that happen, whether they're adventures for your work, for sports, for just for vacation with the family, or the road trips, things like that. In studio with us is a guy that I've known for a number of years, and he is always out and about. You know, one of the top social media guys out there, one of the top DJs out there, one of the top producers out there, and it's great to have him in here in studio at WGN. It is DJ Manny. Welcome to Chicago, number one, and welcome to WGN.
What's up, Dan? It's the boy DJ Manny. I'm finally here back in Chicago.
And you made it. You are physically in the space. You're in studio, a place that you are comfortable with for sure. But your path here was a little rocky, right? Because, you know, of course, people will know St. Croix. That is, you know, your home island. So many challenges have happened there. You ended up going through one of the hurricanes. People don't necessarily remember. There was a multitude, maybe it was a two or three different hurricanes that kind of went through that area this past fall. And so talk a little bit about you were there for one. It sort of missed St. Croix. It didn't hit it that hard. And then you got a direct hit.
Yeah, so Hurricane Irma missed St. Croix by a few miles, and then Hurricane Maria came like the week after. So it was like two hurricanes in 2 weeks. So that was really wild. I luckily got out on the first and last flight, the first flight after Hurricane Irma and the last flight before Hurricane Maria. So I was really lucky to get out.
And you had texted me that you were in town, and I had asked what for, and you were getting your scuba diving. You were doing some scuba diving.
Yeah.
But think about this. So you're living in St. Croix, some of the best diving, scuba diving, snorkeling, probably in the world happening there. Great waters, beautiful fish, all that kind of stuff. But instead, you're going to fly all the way to Chicago for some of the probably not greatest, but there was a reason you were here, right?
Yeah, it was really random. I was supposed to go to Key Largo. That's the funny thing about it. I was supposed to go to Key Largo, and then Key Largo got destroyed by Hurricane Irma. And I was supposed to meet up with my friend Amber in Key Largo. So that happened, and I was like, let's just meet up in Chicago, and then we'll plan from there. And I just flew out of Chicago right after Hurricane Irma. And then Hurricane Maria hit out of the blue, like in less than 3 days. It just formed and just destroyed St. Croix.
I know some of the, you know, with so much happening, whether it's Houston and the flooding and, of course, Florida, and everybody's heard about all the things that have happened and are still going on and the challenges in Puerto Rico. So a lot of times with the U.S. Virgin Islands, and they got hit by all of that stuff, but they haven't been on the front page. You know, they haven't gotten a lot of attention. I know the need is there, and I know that there's a lot of damage. So, but just communication-wise, have you been able to communicate with people back in the island? And how is St. Croix doing?
Wow, St. Croix is really in a mess right now. And communication-wise, like the cell towers have been down. A number of networks, you cannot really contact people like that. There's loss of power, so like about 70 to 80% of the island still doesn't have any power. And people are evacuating on cruise ships, however they can get off St. Croix, they're trying to get off.
And you haven't really, have you been back since?
I haven't been back since.
Yeah, because I knew that you were up here, but then, you know, it's tough to get back, tough to communicate. And plus, what would you be going back
exactly.
to? Exactly. I think you sent me a picture, right? There's not a ton
of. My roof is gone. Like, my whole house is condemned. And that's really wild seeing that. And then people are like, are you going to go back? I'm literally going back to a disaster zone. I don't want to be in a disaster zone, you know?
We talk about it. That here in Chicago, where, you know, there's a lot of things and people will always complain about. We won't complain when we're Chicagoans, we're tough and we can handle the winter, no problem. But when it comes to, you know, what are, when we're asked the weather downsides or the downsides in general, it's probably the winters. You know, the winters are tough and typically they can be unpleasant, but summers here are great. And here's one of the other things is that we just don't have a lot of the things front of mind as far as disasters or issues to worry about. You know, we typically don't have earthquakes. I know someone may text in that there was an earthquake back in 18 something, but typically we don't, you know, unlike let's say Kansas or let's say Oklahoma, we're not worried about tornadoes, hurricanes. We don't have to worry about that stuff. Wild animals, you know, the opportunity to go outside and get eaten by, you know,
a cougar,
a gator, right? Or a pretty low, right? So it's a pretty safe place to be. And so when some of these stories come in, it's tough for us to relate personally to it. But when you're down there, like on those islands, and granted it's happened, is it always something that happened? I know when we did some work with the St. Croix Foundation, one of the ways that it originated was from, was it Hurricane
Hugo?
Hugo.
I think it was Hugo, and that was like in 1990?
It was many years ago. So it's the kind of thing that's always sort of in the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm. And they've been talking about it since I was a little boy. It was like Hugo was so bad, and I still used to hear about it, and now I think they have a new one, Hurricane Maria, to talk about. So they're going through that, and it's like, it's kind of wild, like, just like seeing the pictures. It's like, it's almost like it's not real. Like, I still can't even imagine that I lost my home still at this point.
Yeah, we're going to have, we'll have some links up at WGNradio.com, and I know that we're going to be getting involved with some of the barbecue folks, and I think we're going to be trying to do some things and connecting with the St. Croix Foundation to kind of find out what might be helpful. I know they've got a great culinary program there with SeaTech. They've got a lot of great ways on the food side that they outreach, and I've been down there helping with their food and wine event a couple times as well. So I'm hoping they're able to put that on again in the spring. Have you heard, or
definitely,
is everything's on hold?
I was just at Taste of St. Croix. I was like, Dane should be here. It was
thank you.
Earlier this year.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, you know, go to an event, they think, well, where's DJ Manny? They think he should be here. And you've traveled around the world in pursuit of your dream and the passion, and a lot of things on the recording side has taken you a bunch of different places on the travel side. And of course, you're here in Chicago. But a guy that, a legend, basically, you got to work and collaborate with is Donny Osmond. Now, you think of it, and of course, there's lots of fans here in Chicagoland for Donny and all the things that he's done in his career and with the family over the years. But it doesn't sound like a natural fit, right? Did you guys hit it off like right away?
Yeah, the guy's a legend, and like, he's one of the coolest people I've known in my life. Like, it's just such an honor.
Is that true?
He really is.
Because,
like,
you know, he's very talented.
He has
an almost
angelic vibe. You talk to this guy, it's like you're talking to an angel, you know?
You know, he was the star of Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah, I know. So he was an angel before.
So that angelic vibe comes very naturally. So talk a little bit about the project. I think we're going to have a link at WGNradio.com, or maybe we'll play a little bit later on in the program. But talk about getting together and kind of creating a song that is, you know, very DJ Manny, but also some Donny Osmond.
Yeah, so it originally happened through Twitter. So that was really cool. Donny Osmond hit me up on Twitter, and I was like, Donny, thanks for following me. And he was like, Manny, you need to remix one of my songs for my Vegas show. And I was like, Donny, no, we're not doing any remixes, Donny. We need to do an original song. So I came up with an idea for a song. It's called No. And I just started writing lyrics about just how I felt, about just trying to make it through life and just make it through things, you know? And he understand how I felt, and we just started working on the track. And next thing you know, we have this amazing track. The music video has done super amazing, over a million hits. So, like,
well, just, you know, when it comes to the social media side and kind of getting some attention out there, you're kind of great at that, right? So it's one of those things. So talk a little bit about some of that. For the listeners that are the uninitiated, may not know, talk a bit about some of the social media stuff that you do and your presence out there.
Wow, I'm like in the 1% of people on Twitter, like the top thousands. And, you know, there's like over a million, just millions of people on Twitter and those social media platforms. So it's just like, I've just been networking, connecting people, and just like, just going with the flow of things, you know? And that's how that Donny Osmond collaboration happened. That's how a lot of things happen.
Well, when it comes to going with the flow, and sometimes the flow is a positive thing, and sometimes it's things that you have to kind of, you know, have your life take a left turn because of challenges that are out there, natural disasters and things like that. So here you are, you find yourself
definitely
in Chicago,
uh-huh,
of all places. And I've been a cheerleader for Chicago with you for many, many years, you know, and I'm saying, of course, the winter's a little bit tough, and it's going to be a little different than St. Croix. And remember, you're only a plane ride away to get back to some beaches somewhere and enjoy some of that. But as far as opportunities and some of the great things that are happening, Chicago's a great place to be. So what are you looking, what have you done so far in the last maybe month or so that you've been here? And then what are you looking forward to?
I've been eating a lot of pizza, deep dish pizzas all day. That's like my number one hobby here in Chicago. And I've been getting into other things like PR work, and I'm going to be doing some cool stuff with a lot of cool companies around here.
So we'll stay tuned for that. We'll see what's going on. So if people want to follow you and keep their hand on the pulse of all things DJ Manny and find out where it is you're going for pizza, or maybe make some suggestions to you, right, if they've got an idea of a place that you should go, or just kind of keep up with the adventures on the PR side, give a little bit of the social media out so people know where to get you.
Yeah, so it's at DJ Manny, DJ Manny on Twitter, DJ Manny on Instagram. And those are my main spots. You can also find me on DJManny.com, DJManny.com.
So thanks, Manny. Thanks for being in town. Good to see you. We know we're going to keep in touch and highlight some of the things, keep us up to speed on all the projects. And thanks for being on WGN today.
Thank you so much, Dane.
this is Mark Oldman. You are listening to Dane on WGN.
720 WGN live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. On the line with us now, we've got best-selling author of the award-winning book, How to Drink Like a Billionaire. He is one of the truly great personalities of the wine world, bringing acclaimed expertise, unparalleled showmanship, and the everyman sensibilities to connect the masses with the sometimes mysterious ways of wine, the one and only Mark Oldman. Welcome to the show. Welcome to WGN. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Dane. Great to be here.
So now we're going to have to add to all of yours, and we know this was there before, but you are world traveler in, I think, what, pursuit of not only, you know, great food, wine experiences, people, conversations, and experiences. You just came back from an amazing trip in Italy.
Yeah, I really did. And like yourself, I'm always in pursuit of flavor. And I went to both northern Italy and the very south of Italy, Sicily. So the great contrast and really fun.
The things that people have in common, Thanksgiving is one of those holidays that all of America has in common, regardless of what, you know, your demographics are, your background are, whatever kind of thing. It is the one holiday that we, you know, as Americans all kind of share. It's got food as a focus, wine as a focus, spirits as a focus. And as you travel, you know, you look at wine and of course, your position in and around it, you know, in Italy. I mean, that's one thing that people shared as well, right? You found people kind of enjoying the wine world there out in Italy the same way that they would here in America.
It's so true. And one thing I realized is, you know, when you travel to, let's say, Paris or Rome, people say, well, you can't get a bad meal. And, you know, I said to my wife, actually, now, or fiancé, at the end of this Italy trip, like, you know what? With all the wines we've had in Italy, all over Italy, north and south, we did not have a bad wine. We had better wines, wines that were better than others, but there were no clunkers. And that was so cool to see about Italian wine culture, that they care so passionately about flavor and about food and even about wine, that even when you order wine by the glass, some random wine, it's usually pretty good.
So was that a surprise to you? You know, I know that, you know, as different regions are highlighted, you know, and some come to the forefront and there's trends out there in the world. What, did it live up to your standards? What, did it surpass your standards? You seem like you're almost surprised that you enjoyed every single glass.
You know why? Because I really put it to the test this time, Dane. I mean, we were all over the place, low and high, you know, white collar, blue collar, Milan, Alba, all parts of Sicily. And, you know, so we tested it. It wasn't just about the most famous wineries. It was, you know, little luncheonettes off the beaten track in Sicily where they're enjoying their last crispy piece of lasagna, or little saffron-infused risotto. And just that wine by the glass, I kept expecting, okay, they're going to fail me. I'm going to hit a clunker. And there just wasn't one. Now, that said, there were these regions like the Etna region of Sicily, which is, you know, on the volcano. If you've ever been to Sicily, you know, especially the east coast of Sicily, you know, Mount Etna looms like this wild kind of gloomy but impressive. It's like the Paramount Mountain, but with a lot more drama. You know, it's got this kind of incredible draw. In fact, I met this woman from Catania, Sicily, and she's like, you know, she was a 20-something, and she's like, you know, when the volcano's erupting, and it usually erupts a little bit, it's not that uncommon for it to erupt, you know, every couple of weeks, just a little bit. She and her friends go grab some wine and go towards the volcano and watch the eruption, almost like they'd be watching a light show. I thought that was so cool, you know, natural free entertainment from the volcano.
And also a very adept and subtle way to bring in the name of a famous Van Halen guitar solo at the same time. So I appreciate that. And that was good. Of course, Italy known for its wine, even more known for its food. And one thing that you're known for is fun. People who know what it is that you do and appreciate it, have experienced it, enjoy the fun side. I love how you did some of the pairings and the videos on the trip. And you even were able to, like, what wine pairs best with a pony keg of Nutella?
It was amazing. Who knew they made a Nutella in pony keg or in wine speak, nerdy wine speak, Jeroboam size? I mean, we were at this great hotel in Alba, Italy, which is in Piedmont, and they really do, in low and high hotels, they do breakfast bars beautifully. And Nutella's everywhere, even in Sicily, although Nutella's from the north of Italy. And there is just this enormous tub. I mean, you just wanted to swim in this thing. Yeah. I mean, this was just like, in fact, it was, you could say, an American-sized Italian product. The Europeans are known for their subtlety generally, especially even in Italy and even in, especially in the north. But somehow Nutella had the good idea to go giant with this thing. And, you know, I ripped open my croissant, which is a French product, of course, and I just kept squeezing. It was almost like a Jergens jug, you know, you pressed down. And I mean, so that was in the morning. So I'd say, were I to pair it with wine, I'd pair it with a nice sweet dessert wine. So you have the sweet of the Nutella and the flakiness of the croissant matching with like a Vinsanto, let's say, or if you want to go lighter, a Moscato d'Asti from Italy.
As you moisturize the pastry with the hazelnuts goodness from the giant jug, it was awesome. And just as you're having people have fun and maybe be a little bit more brave about their wine choices and brave about the travel and all that stuff, as you were brave enough to come back right to America, it's not always easy here, especially the holidays. The bat signal was out. People need Mark Oldman to give them suggestions, guidance, a little tutelage. You're their Sherpa, if you will, right? And so let's talk a little bit about it. We've got people can make it out to their local finer liquor store, Binnie's, get some things. What would you recommend that are some of the cool, maybe trendy, some of the neat things that people can do?
Totally. Okay. Well, to start with one of the beautiful places where I went that I mentioned, Mount Etna, that is probably one of the coolest regions. If you want to just knock them dead, and not with a wine that's particularly expensive, but something that is available in the United States. Mount Etna, which is, the base of this really mysterious volcano in Sicily, it makes wine where you can almost taste the volcano in it. So it makes kind of medium-bodied, red, smoky. You could see the soil of Etna, and it's black. And you can see, like, the construction, like the cement. Within the cement of Etna, it's a darker color. So the volcano affects everything. And you might not want volcano in your wine, but it produces this really cool, smoky, minerally quality. So just go to your local wine store or go online and ask for, especially the reds from Mount Etna, Sicily. So ask for Etna Rosso. Etna Rosso. It doesn't really matter which brand you get because there won't be that many, but I've had Passa Pizarro, I had Fecina, I had Cusimano, and they were all terrific and smoky and interesting. And the real insiders are drinking red wine from Mount Etna right now. Another one I absolutely love from the north of Italy that you are going to stump. And again, this won't be expensive, but you are going to stump anyone who thinks they're a wine snob at your table. Go with Ruche. Ruche, it's spelled R-U-C-H-E with a little thing over the E. Ruche from Monferrato, which is a region outside of Alba. It's in Piedmont, so it's northwest Italy. It's near the world center of truffles, which is Alba. But it's near Alba, which means it's closer to Asti. As in Asti Spumanti. But unlike Asti Spumanti, this is the good stuff that only insiders know about. And on my website, I did a quick video with one of my favorite winemakers. He is a badass, if I can say that, a bad arse individual. So cool. He's got his big kind of tinted glasses on. And he's on the label in a scene his friend the artist painted. He had gotten drunk. Together they drank six bottles of. His name's Marco Crivelli, and he makes, so it's Crivelli Ruche. You go to a good local wine store, you ask them for it. Chances are they have it, or you put it into Wine Searcher, and you can find Crivelli Ruche. Again, light to medium bodied. So it's a red. So it will go with everything. If you only choose one wine, choose a light red like that, because it will go with the crispy skin of turkey. It will go with spicy cranberry sauce or stuffing. And that will, if you're just choosing one wine, a light red like Bruichet or a Etna Rosso, very cool choices and not expensive.
Anything on the, and very nice choices and suggestions. The listeners are writing them down as we speak. Anything on the dessert wine, you know, or anything like for an after dinner kind of situation?
Totally. Well, something that they do in Italy that I love, I did it in Piemonte, but they actually, it originates from Tuscany, is to get any rich dessert wine. So you can go, you can get it from anywhere around the world. In Italy, they're going to usually use something like Vinsanto or some sort of richer Moscato. But you can get any richer Moscato. Maybe it could be from Napa or Sonoma or Australia. And what they do that I just think it exemplifies la dolce vita, the good life of Italy that we should bring to the holiday, of is get some biscotti and dip your biscotti in the richer dessert wine, the golden dessert wine. Get it all moist and then just nibble away at your now moistened biscotti. I'm going to tell you, any family fighting, and we know with most families it's inevitable, all that's going to go away when you're nibbling your moist biscotti.
You have permission from the mountaintop to go ahead and nibble on your biscotti and to dip it into your dessert wine. You go ahead and you do it. For those people that wonder, of course, the Wine Sanctuary, how does, and this is it, you know, they're putting on their kind of mental picture-forming abilities as we speak. How does a Mark Oldman, and you guys especially now, and congratulations, big congratulations on the nuptial side of things. Hold that thought, Mark, because we're going to get into, we're a little bit late for a break, we're going to get into the Wine Sanctuary, what it is and how you're going to kind of set it up and people are going to enjoy it for the holidays. So stay tuned for that, Mark. And I wanted to let the listeners know that the Northwestern Wildcats are on AM 890. Their game is on AM 890 today. Information about that is also at WGNradio.com on the website and the app. Quick break. We'll be back right after this. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN On the Road with Dane, live here, Allstate Showcase Studio. And before we went to the break and let the listeners know, we've got author of Drink Like a Billionaire, the one and only wine expert, the wine whisperer, Mark Oldman himself. And we were thinking about, and a lot of the listeners have known, the Wine Sanctuary is very famous, is how are you guys doing it in the Wine Sanctuary, and how are you guys doing the holidays?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to have Bruichet. I'm going to have Etna Rosso. And then because of the wildfires that happened in Napa and Sonoma, I mean, this is where I cut my teeth in the Bay Area. And so Napa and Sonoma are sacred to me. And after those wildfires, I go out of my way to drink Napa and drink Sonoma. I even had a little tasting at the Wine Sanctuary here at my place, where I serve friends wine from wineries that were damaged during the wildfires. So William Hill, Maya Camus, Ancient Oak, Gundlach Bungshu, Storybrooke Mountain. But you don't have to grab one of those. But I'm just going to emphasize Napa and Sonoma, because these are areas that have brought us Americans so much joy. And we should give back at least by purchasing their wine. And guess what? A number of them make Zinfandel. And I've said for years that good, this is the red stuff, not the white, which is actually pink. This is the true, real red Zinfandel. Is peppery and brambly and goes so well with cranberry sauce and spicy stuffing and turkey. So you can stay with Zinfandel. Zinfandel is kind of a uniquely American grape. So you can do Zinfandel and stay with Napa and Sonoma. So I'm going to do that. Another, let's say people are, okay, you mentioned a lot of wines, but give me another one shot, another one magic bullet. I'd say go with sparkling bubbly. A winemaker nice. Told me this once, and it is so right. Go with sparkling rosé bubbly. It could be champagne. It could be Domaine Chandon from Napa. It could be Cava or Prosecco. But sparkling rosé bubbly has the heft, and it has the bubbles so the heft goes with anything on the Thanksgiving table. The bubbles will clean off your palate and the multiplicity of things floating around in your mouth. So, and it's also very festive. And if you want to stay with American, there's Gruet, or some will say Gruet because it's a French owner from New Mexico. It's like $12 a bottle. It's absolutely delicious. Or you can go with any number of bubblies from Sonoma or Napa. And Pink Bubbly allows you to stay American if you want to. And again, it will go with every, it will even go with dessert. It will go with everything on your table.
It was sage advice. We will have links to those and some of those things listed at WGNradio.com. I know that before we get into the holidays, we're gonna have to revisit with you and get some specific instruction direction as we get a little bit closer to those holidays. But as we let you go, what other things are going on in the world of Mark Oldman? What other adventures, excitement? The trip for sure, so you're decompressing, but what's next?
Oh, we've got a number of fun media projects in the works. Probably a little too early to talk about them, but I will tell you a really cool thing I did that I wrote about for Bloomberg, and that is a wine collector friend allowed me to taste a $100,000 bottle that he purchased.
Whoa.
So this was a 6 liter of arguably the most expensive wine in the world, this Latoche 1962. Now, here's the rub. There is a famous wine counterfeiter out there called Rudy Kerniawan, and he's serving 10 years in the clink right now. He is in jail for counterfeiting millions and millions of dollars worth of wine and hoodwinking these collectors. My friend, really good guy, grew up humbly in Texas and now is just an 80-something incredibly generous and low-key wine collector. And he unwittingly bought this bottle that was later found out to have been sourced by this famous wine counterfeiter. But here's the rub. Not all of the bottles he sold were fake wine. Some, he actually sold some real wine because that's, you know, if you're going to be a thief, a counterfeiter, a fraudster, mix in some real with some fake when you're selling bottles, and it confuses the marketplace.
Whoa, okay. So with the gift-giving, you know, season coming up, people are looking for that perfect special someone. If you're going to, and this is, I think, important warning or just cautionary tales to the listeners, if you're going to spend $100,000 on an amazing wine, to do what you can to make sure that it is, after all, authentic. But, I mean, come on, Mark, there's really, how many guys like that can there be, you know, these sort of Bond-esque wine villains out there running around in the world?
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. He was a Bond-esque villain. But, you know, there are more than we in the wine industry would like to admit. So if you're going to buy, for example, a gift $80 or over, make sure you're buying from a reputable source and make sure that the label doesn't look weird. In other words, it can be very primitive, certain counterfeiters, like the name of the wine is spelled correctly or that what? It doesn't look photocopied. I've been in Hong Kong and I've seen certain wines that were really shabbily counterfeited. Luckily in America, you don't see that often, but just be on your guard about it.
Well, coming up to the holidays, as people are kind of looking for some of those things that they can do, and as we get closer to the holidays or New Year's, maybe that you want to share something that people can look out before they get sold out at their favorite liquor store and kind of put on ice or in kind of storage for those special occasions?
Well, you know, I always say a really good bottle of champagne is very important if you then, in addition, learn how to savor it. And, you know, still a lot of people are afraid of it. And in my book, you know, How to Drink Like a Billionaire, I do give a step-by-step guide, although I do advise people to wear, I don't do it, but I advise people to wear safety glasses and gloves because you're dealing with contents under pressure. But I think that could be a goal for a bunch of your listeners. And it doesn't have to be champagne from France. It could be American sparkling wine or Prosecco. But there's nothing like ringing in the new year with a bottle of bubbly and you've capably and eminently beheaded it.
And safely. And safely, too.
Safely.
It's safety first. Of course, you throw caution to the wind when you're going ahead and doing that. And for the other people, maybe if you have your guests coming in, you're going to have them save, maybe have them sign a waiver form, some kind of an insurance form to protect you and the contents of your establishment, you know, and so that everybody's having fun, but they always feel like, you know, anything can happen, you know, when you're out there celebrating in a risque manner.
Exactly. And point the bottle away from eyeballs and priceless paintings. None of those Da Vinci. If you have one of those, I forgot how much it went for, $80 million Da Vinci's hanging in your house. Make sure not to saber in that direction.
Some of the simplest instructions need to be said, right? For those people that are paying attention, taking down every word, they want to know what to do, what not to do. Yes, avoid pointing it at either people that you care about or, of course, the priceless objects in your house. People want to definitely take care and go to markoldman.com. And you have a number of different ways. Of course, you mentioned the book, but a number of different ways people can get their Mark Oldman fix these days. You've got a newsletter. You've got some other things going on. Before we let you go, fill us in.
Yeah, my book is doing really well, How to Drink Like a Billionaire. I am probably coming to your city very soon, Chicago, but also Austin for the Food and Wine Festival and Aspen for the Food and Wine Festival in 2018, and likely South Beach. And I do private events all the time. And, you know, just helping spread the word, how to drink like a billionaire without paying like one.
Carrying the torch for good times and great wine, approachable, taking a little bit of the mystery out of the mysterious world of wine. Mark Oldman, he is doing that, markoldman.com. Appreciate you jumping on the line and taking a little bit of time out. Thanks for being on WGN today.
Dane, it's always a huge pleasure.
Hi, this is Mike Joy from NASCAR on Fox. You're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, on the road with Dane, and honored to have on the line with us. We'll call him Chicago's very own all racing fans know him as one of the truly great voices of motorsports, and so many years as the guy leading NASCAR on Fox's coverage, the one and only Mike Joy. Mike, welcome to WGN.
Thanks, Shane. How are you?
I am okay. First off, excited and big thanks for you mobilizing as Northwestern kind of gets into kind of no man's land as far as being great. Their schedule has moved all over the place, so I appreciate you jumping on.
Why, sure. Glad to help out.
So here's the thing. People think to themselves, okay, especially with the split schedule when it comes to NASCAR, and you guys have the first part of the season, NBC has the end, they wonder what Mike Joy is doing. And but really, you know, some of the, believe it or not, and listeners, bear with me here, is some of the most compelling automotive and car-related television has nothing to do with the racetrack for some of the stuff that you do with Bear Jackson and some of those events. You're at one today for sure as well, but that is really compelling TV.
It can be. You know, when we started out, I thought, okay, this will be fun, going to the auction, seeing what some of these cars will sell for, getting to learn about the cars, and then getting to share some of that knowledge with the viewers. But it's turned out to be a ton of fun. My mom was never a car guy. Yeah, that sounds kind of strange, doesn't
person.
It? I think you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
But she was compelled watching the auctions because, like everybody else, she'd guess what a car would sell for and then want to learn about what made this one special or made that one worth thousands more than this one, and really got to enjoy it. And we've had some moments on these auction telecasts that were just incredible. I think the biggest one we ever had was when George Barris, the Hollywood customizer, drove the original Batmobile onto the stage to the blaring of the Batman theme. The place went crazy. It was pandemonium. It was probably 4,000 baby boomers in the room who were all suddenly 10 years old again, you know, watching Adam West and Burt Ward on the small screen in the original Batman. But the great thing about these older cars as they cross the auction block is they bring out those kind of memories and stories in everybody of a certain age that sees them.
Well, I mean, it is so much bigger and so much greater than the sum of the parts. And I don't know that you could have drawn it up or planned it out or explained it to me, but it is one of those things where, and you'll know this, Mike, too, is that these cars are sometimes as big a celebrities as a celebrity, whether it's just that make, that model, you know, something rare or something that people had and identified with in childhood. And yeah, okay, so there's all those elements. So you've got these cars, and to see them in rare form or pristine condition is really something special. It also is, right? Is it gonna add up to the value that either some of the pundits or yourself are saying, well, here's kind of what it should go for? And then also too is like whatever value you've put on it. You know, there are some cars that I see that I'm like, oh wow, that's so great. It may not be the most expensive car, but to me, it just has such a big emotional value.
And it's the emotional tug, I think, that really drives the collector car auction market. People want a car like the first car they ever had, or the first car they ever dated in, or their mom's car that they borrowed, or the car that dad wished he bought but never did, and that sort of thing. And I don't know for how much longer, but at least now people can still, I think, mark certain guideposts in their life based on what kind of car they were driving. Now, that certainly won't happen forever, and, you know, we may be on the verge of it now as cars become appliances. Right. And not things to be not aspirational or things to be loved, but just things that serve a purpose. Nobody gets excited about a milk jug, or a refrigerator. Well, we do in our house, but trying to replace one and find one that has ice and water on the door and otherwise holds everything we need. But otherwise, people don't get emotional about these things, but people really do have a connection to cars that they've owned or cars that they've had in their family. And right now my wife is covering her face with her hands in horror because, yeah, we didn't come here to talk about refrigerators, did we?
Well, here's the thing, too, is it is a touchstone for everybody. It transcends so many different things. You think, very expensive or very fast cars, I think, are always going to be a popular thing for certain elements of the population. But some of the ones that you have mentioned that you see up there are the kind that everybody sort of has come in contact with. Maybe they knew someone who had one. They weren't necessarily tremendously expensive at the time, but they either had attributes or like you said, some kind of emotional connection as well. I know the event that you're at today is the fifth annual Americana Live Car Show presented by MSC Industrial Supply Company, and it supports young adults with high-functioning autism or Asperger's. So this is where you're using all of those things that kind of come into play in the car world and kind of putting them to use for a good cause.
This is Ray Evernham's show. Ray was Jeff Gordon's crew chief for three of his championships, and Ray will be inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame this January. And he has a son with Asperger's and formed this charity to try to help develop programs for children and young adults who are high functioning but still have some of these challenges. And he's done a great job with it. And his effort, which is called IGNITE, which is an acronym, is about to go nationwide in a big way, because when we go to Barrett-Jackson in January, Ron Pratt, a very well-known collector in the Phoenix area, who has one of the new Ford GTs, is going to donate it to Ray's charity, IGNITE, and it's going to be auctioned off at Barrett-Jackson.
Wow.
Now, when Ford announced that they were going to build 1,000 of these cars, they got over 6,000 applications to buy them, and who knows how many other people that would be interested but didn't bother to submit an application, and only 1,000 people were chosen. So there's a huge pent-up demand for this car that is only just now beginning to roll off the assembly line at a price tag of nearly $500,000 and commensurate performance with that. So the big question going into Barrett-Jackson is, what will the GT bring for charity? And I think what Ray can't wait to see is not the number, but just how much attention it brings to this cause and how we can drive all this forward, thanks to Ron Pratt's very, very generous donation.
Yeah, it's great to see, right? And it's one of those things where you can kind of mobilize the forces of motorsports, take a little bit of that star power, that celebrity. It's amazing just the outside, those collectors out there looking to get in on one of these car things. And that there is a huge dollar value that's going to go to some great research and support those incredible causes as well. So today, and you think about it, everybody, and this is one of the things, whether you're a little kid, and we had tons of them here for the Muscle Car Show this last weekend, in Chicago, or whether you're celebrities or whether you're race car drivers, everybody loves cars. And you saw some cool ones today from some of our biggest drivers. So Dale Earnhardt's Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s 1976 Chevrolet Laguna was there. Joey Logano had a car. Rusty Wallace had his 2018 Corvette. There was a ton. And even the American Graffiti car was there. I'm reading right now, the 58 Impala. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's a car that Ray found and was badly in need of restoration, and he restored it and brought it back. And, you know, not just the star cars, there were over 600 enthusiasts that showed up with their cars. There was a whole row of Mustangs. There was a whole area for Corvettes, for rat rods, for foreign cars, MGs, BMWs, Ferraris, you name it. It really was a show that just kind of crossed the breadth of the whole collector car community. And I think everybody there was going around pointing out, I'd like that one, or I'd like that one, or my favorite is this one. Sure.
Let the listeners know we're talking with legendary motorsports voice Mike Joy. He is the lead voice for NASCAR on Fox, as they're going to get going with the Daytona 500 coming up a little bit past the new year. And, of course, you hear him for Barrett Jackson. And, Mike, we've got a tiny, tiny little break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about the NASCAR season coming up, if you've got a second, if you can hold.
Sure.
All right, thanks. We'll be right back. We're going to get back with Mike Joy in just a second. Quick break here. It's On the Road with Dane on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and on the line with us, Chicago's very own longtime Cub fan, and also one of our great voices of motorsports, and you hear him, know him, love him, appreciate him for all the NASCAR on Fox broadcasts. And so, Mike Joy, welcome back. And the question is, and we've had so many of listeners and fans excited about the way that the season kind of rounded up, the way that the playoff format went, the level of drama, anticipation, and excitement that it added, and the way that it kind of finished with Martin Truex Jr. So you guys, as a team, knowing what you're kind of walking into this next season with, are you guys excited?
Well, I think this season just completed is going to be a very, very difficult and maybe impossible one to top. I think to come down to as many great storylines as NASCAR had at the end of this season, and then have a fellow who might not be everybody's favorite driver, but I promise you there's nobody who doesn't like Martin Truex. And he kind of reminds me of something Richard Petty once said. He says, everybody doesn't love Richard Petty, but if their driver can't win, they'd be okay if Richard Petty did well.
Right.
And maybe that kind of applies to Martin. I mean, we're all thrilled that he's a champion. Look, any of the four drivers would have been a worthy champion. He was the only one of the four, the championship four, trying to win it for the first time. All the great storylines and for all the right reasons. You know, we're really excited that he's going to be honored next week out in Las Vegas with the NASCAR Cup and the championship. So going into next year, I think the biggest storyline right now is that we've had more key driver changes going into next year, well, than I can remember in any one season, with top drivers either retiring like Dale Earnhardt Jr., being taken out of their ride with nowhere to go, like Matt Kenseth and, for the large part, Danica Patrick, and all the other changes, Casey Kane being moved aside, and all four younger, hungry talent, anxious to prove themselves. I think never has there been a changing of the guard in this sport, not in the 40-some years I've been around, that we're going to have going into 2018.
Yeah, so many different changes in there. And of course, Martin Truex Jr. falls in that it couldn't happen to a nicer guy category. A great guy, great storylines. I think you guys are tasked with kind of introducing to the greater racing fan public of America some of these new drivers that have filled some of those very, very large shoes that are going to be missing. But when it comes to Matt Kenseth, and you saw a lot of the emotion, maybe more emotion than you normally saw from Matt Kenseth. Maybe if he showed even more of that throughout his career, you know, things would be a little bit different. But Casey Kane kind of took what you would consider to be a lesser position, certainly a lesser paycheck, right? And maybe with a smaller downsized team in order to continue racing. Because Matt Kenseth, it seems like, and of course he won races at the end of the season. Do you think he's going to, you know, over time, gets a little bit of a time to reflect that he's going to, you'll see him out on the track in one of those teams just to prove that he can still do it?
I think you'll see Matt back in a race car if he feels he has a chance to win. You know, he's won the championship. He's accomplished so much in his career. He didn't see any point going out there and riding around for points or for another opportunity. So I think probably the next best chance you're going to have to see Matt in a cup car would be if a team gets into a situation where they need a relief driver for a period of time. We all hope that doesn't happen, including Matt. But he said, I'm available. And if a winning car becomes available, even for a short term, that he would certainly consider it.
Now, there are so many different ways as you guys gear up. Everybody thinks the start of the season is the Daytona 500. It is a big part of it. And you've got that whole speed week beforehand. But you guys do so many different shows on FS1 and all these different kind of incarnations and the Hot Stove League, where you guys have basically continual program highlighting and highlighting some of these drivers, these new situations, some of the changes that happen. There's a lot of racing stuff to watch on Fox.
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll leave a lot of that development to NASCAR Race Hub, which airs at least 4 days a week and is the highest rated talk show or panel show, if you will, on FS1. And they're taking a hiatus for part of the winter, but they'll be back in January, February, ready to go and ready to introduce everybody to these young drivers. And then it's up to us, because even all of those shows, our practice shows, qualifying shows, are a small fraction of the audience that we have for Sunday, not just for the Daytona 500, but all year long. So we will try during the coverage of those races to inform, educate, and entertain, and try to do that pretty much in equal amounts. But yes, there's going to be a lot of missionary work to do to get people to understand who Erik Jones is, who William Byron is, who Alex Bowman is, all of these young fellows that are coming along, and all who want to win and likely will at some point in their career.
Exciting times, pivotal times, kind of important times, right? And I know that a lot of the race fans, that coverage is in great hands with you, Mike Joy, and the team at Fox. So for those people that can't wait till February in order to get their Mike Joy fix, let people know where they can see you, where they can find you, how they can follow you on social media.
On Twitter, at MikeJoy500. And then really the next big event, we have the banquet. We have the Myers Brothers Awards before the banquet next week in Las Vegas. And then we'll be getting ready for Barrett Jackson out in Scottsdale in January, where somebody, because you can't buy a Ford GT, you're either on the list or those cars are locked out from resale for 2 years. Some one person is going to get a chance to bid and buy Ron Pratt's car to benefit Ray Evernham's charity. And I can't wait to see what that's going to go for.
Great stuff. Great cars. Great causes, right? And always entertaining content. So, Mike, thanks so much for what you do, and let you get back to your weekend. And thanks for being on WGN today.
All right. Thanks, Dane. Take care.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll send it to news. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Here we are on Black Friday. It is the time when everybody kind of the smoke is clearing from Thanksgiving. We are still in kind of that holiday celebratory mode, and we're looking forward to the holidays as they kind of come upon us. And you think to yourself, what are you going to do on the gift-giving side? So many different options out there, whether it's the gifts, the toys, the Amazon, the deliveries, some of the stuff you can do online, or just the traditional getting out on Michigan Avenue, walking up and down and doing some holiday shopping. On the line with us now to talk a little bit about some of the things that are available, as well as what I contend, and we, of course, featured them on the road as one of our great family road trips, is Natasha. She is with the Kalahari Resorts and Conventions, one of the members of the Nelson family, been there since the beginning. Natasha, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You know what, we got a chance to get up there and check it out, and, you know, there are a lot of things that the water park situation, and of course, Wisconsin Dells, the water park capital of the world, that they have in common, you know, water, slides, things like that. You guys go the extra mile in a bunch of different ways, and there is a really thoughtful thought process, not only on the educational side, some of the things that you do on the mentoring, but also on the decor. Excited to see some of it. And it is amazing. It is more than just the kind of stuff that you see at a typical resort or some kind of themed convention center or place to stay. I mean, you take it very, very seriously.
We do take it seriously, actually. And when we started in this business, we didn't just want to build a water park like the rest, like a rainforest theme or a wilderness lodge. And so someone suggested, hey, why not Africa? We went over about 20 years ago, fell in love. Our resorts are completely 100% authentically African-themed, and we've been going every year or so, every year and a half, for the last 20 years to bring back amazing artwork, clad our walls, and tell the story authentically.
You know what? Having a chance to see it, some of these things, you know, it's one thing you got to have a certain amount of decor. You want to set a theme. You want people to feel kind of whatever it is that you're going for on the decor side. But some of these things have got to be museum pieces. I mean, there's amazing quality. There are carvings, and it's marble and wood and a lot of indigenous things as far as the artworks. I mean, some of that stuff is, it belongs in a museum.
It definitely does. I say that you can get an education just coming through our resort and walking our halls. We have, oh man, I hate to throw a number out there, but hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of authentic African art, clad the walls. Yeah, like you said, marble, stone, granite, the most beautiful carved busts you've ever seen, wire baskets, beautiful beadwork. It is like walking through a museum. And then at the same time, when you're done with the museum, you can head to the water park and have some fun. It's double the fun.
Well, here's the thing. So you've got the location Wisconsin Dells where it started as well. I think there's one in Ohio, correct? There's also one that's in
Sandusky,
the works.
Ohio.
Yep, in Texas. So there is a lot of room, and they are getting bigger and better all the time. A lot of room for a lot of those things. So describe that process. You know, you knew what you want to do, but these places are big. So how does a trip work? You know, because you can't just put it on your carry-on luggage. How do you get over there and then bring all of that stuff back for us to enjoy?
Well, there's a lot of logistics and a lot of planning ahead of time to make this work. We usually travel with a small team. Usually it's a couple of family members and a couple other designers. We head over, and we to be honest, we go with a plan, and then we usually rip up that plan right when we get there because we meet the people, we buy with our heart, we see what we love, and that's what we clad our walls with. I usually show up with a spreadsheet and say, okay, I need 20 pieces for a wall here. I need 3 stone busts over here, and then we just kind of walk and roam and meet people and then just decide what we love there and scratch the plan.
And you bring it all back and people get a chance to enjoy it. It is truly part of the experience. And, of course, here in the Chicagoland area, the Wisconsin Dells location is the closest one. We reached 38 states and Canada. In fact, I was just on the air last night and we got some calls from Ohio. So probably the Sandusky location can hear WGN as well. But as people are thinking what they want to do, and we've talked about it in a number of different contexts, instead of just buying people physical things or, you know, whether it's jewelry or toys or whatever it is, it's just the value of an experience. And I think some of the younger generations are really valuing experience over material things these days anyway. And you guys actually put a little bit of science into it, right? So you went out there and you guys have a survey where you looked at what people are looking for, what some of those trends are, where people are valuing what it is that they're doing on the gift-giving side, and it is experience.
It definitely is. I have 3 children now, too, and I'm learning over the years as I've been giving them gifts that they actually get bored with the gift after a while, and it's really sad to see that. So we wanted to put some, proof behind these numbers. And so we went to the Wakefield Research Institute, and we conducted a survey of 1,000 parents to see what they had to say about the upcoming holidays. And, the proof is in the pudding. 43% of the parents reported that their children would rather go on a family vacation and create memories to a resort or amusement park than to stay home and unwrap gifts.
You know,
pretty wild.
And people are able to capture their memories that aren't just like caught in your mind, in your memory banks as well, with the ability of everybody to kind of capture things, whether it's social media, whether it's cameras on every phone, whether it's all those kind of things. You really can have some lasting things that go along with it. I totally agree. So let's talk about it as we get from now, Black Friday, all the way through the holiday times. I'm guessing, you know, as people do a lot of different things that may be different or maybe non-traditional, that people are coming up, maybe spending the holidays actually with you. Are they doing that? Are they having maybe your Christmas party, their corporate outing to you guys? And then also talk on the gift-giving side, what people can do as far as giving Kalahari as a gift.
Well, another thing that we found on this survey is that the average amount of spend that parents spend every holiday season is $1,200. And 25% say that they'll spend more than $1,500 on holiday gifts alone. That's a lot of money. That can buy a experience, a vacation, something that your kids will remember and cherish for years, and then some. So really, it's just your family wants to come and enjoy experience rather than open these gifts that they'll be bored of within a couple of weeks. What's really nice is that we take the stress out of your holiday. We're doing the cooking. We're doing the cleaning. You can come with this, all your extended family, and instead of having them all in tight quarters in your house, you've all got your own rooms. You can go and take a breather at the end of the day. It's a no-brainer, really, to try to change up your holiday from the typical high-stress gift-giving to a fun family vacation.
Especially we get into some of the weather that, you know, we're here in the Midwest. You know, we have got great weather in the summer, the spring, even mostly into the fall. But in the wintertime, it is a perfect time to get away and enjoy kind of water park setting. And then if you can immerse yourself in some of the culture that you guys, and specifically you, Natasha, that are helping bring to Kalahari, I think that is great. Before we let you go, give the website where people can see some of the things. We'll put some pictures up at WGNradio.com as well, but people to, you know, kind of look at what's available, look at some of the facilities, look at some of the things going on, and get out there and see you.
Yes, definitely. Our website is KalahariResorts.com. Check us out. We've got a property in Wisconsin Dells, Sandusky, Ohio, and the Pocono Mountains, Pennsylvania. If families really want to stay home and do the gift-giving this year, what's nice is you can also stuff their stockings with water park passes so they can come on a future trip. Or if you go to KalahariResorts.com, you can buy a Kalahari surprise box for your child. And inside, we stuff it with fun toys, games, and a letter from Kenya, Kalahari's elephant. And he is letting you know that you have a trip upcoming. So that would be really fun. If parents can't seem to make it work for the holidays, they can go on our website and buy a surprise pass or a surprise box or water park passes for their stockings.
See, that covers all the bases. You get something to open, right? And then you get the excitement of, wow, hey, this is what we're going to be doing in the near future. I think that covers all the bases. Natasha, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for taking time out on Black Friday. Continue all the great work up there at Kalahari, and thanks for being on WGN today.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy holidays. Staying sunny. Guess you better slow your
.720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. I was waiting, Camille, in case they were going to say Mustang Sally again. I was going to, you know, superimpose, you know, with the sound and say Gary, Mustang Gary. Gary is on the line with us. And then I want to let the listeners know as well, you can still, you've got maybe about 12 more minutes to do this before Camille reveals and announces our bona fide ride of the show. All you have to do is call in and you can talk with her or text in. You can send a picture, your first car, your favorite car, your dream car, and the one that is chosen, kind of no preference to any of these. And the one that's chosen is going to be our bona fide ride of the show, brought to you by Bona Beef. You're going to win a $25 gift card to Bona Beef and get out there and enjoy that. Plus, of course, bragging rights. You could take that. Of course, the only guy that can't officially win is on the line with us now. It is Gary Granson. He is with the Stallions Gate Mustang and Ford Club. Gary, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks so much for having us.
No, it is great to have you. And so excited to hear. I know that we cover a lot of the different cruise nights and car shows throughout the course of the summer. There are so many throughout the Chicagoland area, and so many people very proud of their cars, so many car clubs. They all get together. They do the events. They come out. They talk about cars. They show off their cars. Now we're kind of in, I guess, as far as the cruise night car show, the off season. But you guys are still very active. So talk a little bit about the Mustang and Ford Club.
Yeah. Stallions Gate Mustang and Ford Club was actually started back in 1993, so we've been around for a while. We're actually based out of the Palatine area, but we have members from all over Chicago. They come down from Grays Lake and from Joliet. We have events every single month. We have an event.
Well, you guys have some of the best, I mean, the team photo of really great and iconic cars, you know, with the Mustang. So it's easy to get excited about it. It's easy probably for you guys and your members to get people, you know, at some of the shows or the cruise nights to get excited about it. Mike Sherwitz, who's out there, one of the trustees in Des Plaines, not too far from you, he's part of a Corvair club, you know, where they're kind of together in sort of this kind of a slightly more obscure, slightly less famous, slightly less beloved with the Corvair. So they're together. But you guys have there are tons of Mustang fans.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of Mustangs around, and our club is not only Mustangs, but Fords also, any kind of a Ford. We're not focused on any one type of car. We have trucks. We have an old one of our members has an old Ford 63, I think it is, station wagon. But we have a lot. We have a lot of newer cars. We have about 90 active members.
Wow.
Like I said, as we have events every month, and sometimes we get between 30 and 40 members at our meetings every month. So it's pretty active club.
Yes, the Mustang is so famous throughout the course of the year. So many fans there. You mentioned Ford in general. Now, are you guys, and we kind of, you know, on the sports side, people think of it if they're looking for a situation to relate, maybe Cubs, Sox, you know, Bears, Packers. If you like one, you can't like the other. Are you guys, and I mean, you're supportive of all Fords. And you said you got some trucks and some other makes and models. But are you totally against Chevy? I mean, could you... is there like an opportunity for a rumble? You know, are you guys negative? Would you never be caught even riding in one? Let's say your car broke down. It would never happen because it's a Ford, obviously. Mm-hmm. But let's say you were in a situation where you needed a ride. Would you get into a Chevy, or is it not that serious?
Okay. No, it's not that serious. I think anybody that's in our club, we just enjoy all types of cars. As a matter of fact, we have our annual car show is over at Hopkins Ford, which is in Elgin. And it's an open show, so we have all types of cars that come. And as a car enthusiast, obviously we're focused and we really like our Mustangs, but
yeah.
I think we all enjoy all types of cars because a lot of guys pour a lot of dedication into refurbishing cars, or they just enjoy these kind of cars.
Well, if you heard our conversation with Mike Joy a few minutes ago, or he was talking about Ford, is they've got that Ford GT. They're going to be donating one of those to charity, so that's maybe an aspirational car for you guys. You know, you get a chance to see one of those things. I think you guys got to be excited about that.
Oh yeah, that's really exciting. And we also, you know, as far as donating, I mean, Stallions Gate, we are a huge proud sponsor of Operation Support Our Troops.
Nice.
Which is at our last car show at Hopkins Ford, which was in June. We actually on site wrote them a check for $3,000. So all of the funds that we collect during the course of the year, other than just our minor operating expenses, goes to Operation Support Our Troops.
Oh, see, it's neat to see that. It's one thing to get together a common cause as far as just your appreciation for a certain thing, you know, like a lot of different clubs, but to kind of take the power that you have as a group and harness it and kind of point it in a good direction to affect some change and support some things, I think is really great. And you mentioned you have monthly events. Do you have events in the winter as well, and how do you do it?
Our events during the winter are typically, we have meetings at some local restaurants. So we like to, support all the local food services that are around.
Nice.
And we've also had what we call a mini car show, and people bring in their little models of cars. A lot of guys have their own. You know, I've got a 65 Mustang and a convertible.
In a model form? Well, that's a very economic. I mean, you could think about this. Some of these people, like a Jay Leno, right? He's got a huge car collection. That takes a giant building. I think in Palatine, just based on space available, maybe the small, tiny collection would be the way to go.
Yeah, and we lay them all out. We have like our own little mini car show type stuff, but... everybody gets together and we talk about cars. We talk about events. We talk about the plans for the next season, which we're already planning our 2018 season right now.
You got 90 members, and I think it's a testament not only to how successful and organized you are, but also the fact that it's Ford, so many fans, Mustang, so many fans. People want to get more information from you about the club, maybe be member 90 and 91, 92, 93, get some extra members or find out what you're doing and support you. Where can they go?
They can actually go to our website, stalliansgate.org or stalliansgate.com. We have both those things, and we have a listing of our events. We have pictures of our members' rides. We have a number of our club sponsors. A lot of our guys are extremely excited about really what's going on for next year. We've actually done... things called in March, we do a thing called a fly and drive. And the last couple of years, we've actually flown out to Las Vegas. Not all of us, but there's a handful that do that. And they make a deal with Hertz out there. And the last time, I think there were about 15 or 18 members that flew out there, and Hertz gave every one of them a Mustang convertible to rent for that time frame. And they just had a great time out there.
Wow.
NASCAR's out there in March, and they've got a lot of car stuff going on at that time.
Flexing a little bit of the Mustang muscle on the economic side as you travel. And as we let you go, and we'll get the website one more time, let the listeners know we're talking with Gary Granson. He is with Stallionsgate Mustang and Ford Club. Is in the summer, and we highlighted so many of them. What are maybe one or two places, car show cruise nights, that you guys go to attend on a regular basis so our listeners know when the weather gets a little bit nicer, they'll see you?
Oh, man, there's so many of them. There's a number that are in Palatine. Barrington has one on Thursdays. I think in Hoffman Estates, they have it on Monday. I mean, every night there's someplace I go, or every night we can go someplace. We also, during the summer, we have, since we support a lot of stuff in Palatine, we also attend the St. Patrick's Day Parade, Memorial Day Parade, and the 4th of July parade, which we carry their VIPs during those times.
Nice. Okay, you're putting the cars to work. So you're getting out there as ambassadors for the Mustang and the Ford. You have the members. You're supporting good causes. You're getting out there. And ideally, and I think, number one, you're having fun, enjoying your cars and putting them to good use, not only to show off for people, but to help so many different things going on in and around Chicagoland. So last time for the website, Gary, give it so people can find out what you're doing.
That's stallionsgate.com, stallionsgate.com. And just a real shout-out to Jeff Swanson, who's our president, who's done an excellent job of keeping this club moving and bringing a whole bunch of excitement to our Stallionsgate Mustang Club.
All right, thanks, Gary. Gary Granson, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on WGN today.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show. We'll send it to news. We'll do all those things. 720 WGN. 720 WGN on the road with Dane, wrapping things up here. Big thanks to everybody who participated in the show. Thanks to everybody who listened. And for our bona fide ride of the show, Camille, do you have a winner?
Yes, Larry from Chicago with his 69 Chevy Bel Air.
Wow.
I'll be giving you a call, Larry.
All right, you're going to win the $25 gift card for Bona B.